Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You heard it, the 45th annual Newark Museum Black Film Festival starts off this Wednesday, June 26th, and opening up this year's festival is the HBO documentary United Skates, which features Newark's own Branch Brook Park roller skating rink. Now, back in February, we spoke with the film's producer and co-director, Tina Brown. She co-directed the documentary with Diana Winkler, and the film premiered on HBO on February 18th. Wednesday's screening, as you heard, will also feature a pop-up roller rink in front of the Newark Museum. So let's take a listen to my conversation with Tina Brown to discuss the historical and cultural importance of roller rinks in American culture. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Allison.
So you spent 5 years working on this film.
That's right.
When did you first become aware of the roller skating culture?
That's a good question, especially since I'm Australian and I'm not a roller skater. So Deanna and I actually started off here in Central Park filming the skaters there that come out every, you know, April to October. And we thought they were the last of the roller skaters, that once they stopped skating, that would be it, because who roller skates anymore? And we don't have, you know, any rinks in New York except for the tip of Staten Island. So we were basically looking at the death of roller skating in a sense. And then through that experience, we met two younger African-American skaters who basically schooled us and told us that roller skating was in fact not dead. It had gone underground and there was a huge thriving community still skating across the country. So we jumped on a bus at 3 a.m. in the morning from Port Authority and went overnight to Richmond, Virginia and walked into the rink at midnight and walked into this world. So it was definitely not something we were out looking for. It found us, and the community obviously were the ones that encouraged us to make this documentary.
So we're not talking about just going around in a circle.
No.
In a ring. We're talking, it's sort of like synchronized swimming meets breakdancing. It's really athletic. It's really graceful. How do you describe it to people?
I mean, I feel like when we first walked into the rink, I mean, there was so much love in the room. First off, the sense of community and family is apparent. But in terms of what's happening on the wood, like you said, it varies from crews are out there skating in unison to individuals like doing splits on the floor to inner circle work in the middle, very much like breakdancing. I think you could kind of compare it to a nightclub scene, and that everyone's out there expressing themselves to, you know, killer music, but they're all in it to have fun and support each other.
One of the really, really interesting things about the documentary is the intersection of Black roller skating culture and the birth of hip hop.
I know.
And you have some amazing footage of some huge hip hop stars who got their start in Black roller rinks.
That's right.
Tell us about that intersection.
Yeah, basically when hip hop started to form and they started performing in venues, it was really hard for them to find spaces that were large enough for them to perform in because they weren't allowed to. They weren't welcome there. And so they could perform in little halls maybe or little clubs. But for a larger venue, there was nothing available except for roller rinks. So here in New York, there were a few spaces over in New Jersey as well that welcomed in the hip hop artists to perform. I mean, I found some archival photos of Cold Crush Brothers, you know, Grandmaster Flash performed, the Funky 4 Plus 1, they performed as well. There's some footage of them. And so it just became a space that welcomed them, and hip hop artists would then do roller rink tours across the country. Instead of doing tours at concert halls, they would do roller skating rink tours. So it was really interesting that you know, people like that we would know today, Queen Latifah.
You have video of her,
I know.
Footage of her as a very young, I think she might even be a teenager.
I think she was about 19.
Yeah.
And she actually did her first West Coast appearance at a roller rink in Compton in LA. And she was known as Latifah back then, not Queen. So, yeah, it was, you know, there's so many other names. Mary J. Blige performed at a roller rink. Dr. Dre was a skate DJ before he became, you know, anything to do with NWA. So, yeah, it really was the birthplace of a lot of people's careers. Salt and Pepper as well. Mm-hmm. They would go skating and then everyone would stop skating and then they would perform.
The name of the documentary is United Skates. I'm with Tina Brown, one of the co-directors. So there's the great creative part of the documentary and then the interesting rich history part. Mm-hmm. And then you run right up against segregated spaces mm-hmm. and the history of segregated spaces and the continuation of segregated spaces. Tell us a little bit about that through line in the documentary.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it was pretty apparent when we first went into that rink that first time that all the skaters were from different parts of the country. And they made it very clear that we should come visit them, but on these nights. Like in Detroit, my night is Thursday night, or in Philly, we skate on Sunday night. And for us, it was, what do you mean your night? And as we dug deeper, we uncovered that basically there's still segregation in the rinks to this day. And for the Black community, they have to skate on a night called Adult Night. And so for us, it was finding out where that originated. How did that come about? And we spoke to a professor of history at the Buffalo University, Dr. Victoria Walcott, who spent 10 years researching and writing a book called Race, Riots, and Roller Coasters about the spaces. And it included roller rinks during the civil rights era and how hard fought these spaces were. And so, you know, obviously that doesn't all make it in the film, but it did form a really strong foundation of where we took it. And so we do look at one of, you know, skaters at that time who did fight really hard to get access to the rink once desegregation happened. So there was a reverend in Cairo, Illinois, who was talking about how they protested outside a rink for 40 days and 40 nights, and they ended up getting clubbed and hit by Klansmen. We wanted to give it context, because for us it was about, yes, the history, but how this beautiful culture had come out of this adversity, and how even to this day they still fight for their access to space. So we wanted to, I guess, show what's happening in across America right now. And roller skating is that metaphor, that little bit of sugar to spoon feed the social issues.
It's interesting that it takes place across the country. You go to rinks across the country. Mm-hmm. We should talk about now. There are so many fewer rinks than there were mm-hmm. back in the day. Why are they so endangered? It's this montage at the end. You show all these rinks that have closed. Mm-hmm. It's really heartbreaking.
It is. I think, you know, what's happening across America right now is, you know, gentrification obviously is a big problem, and exclusionary zoning, where, you know, a lot of these rinks are in areas which, you know, the councils are pushing out recreational spaces in lieu of commercial spaces, and they're not supporting the African American community and the community centers that they need. And so, unfortunately, if the zoning is changed, it's really hard to save the rinks. It's really hard to get them back. And so we sort of look a little bit at that and how our skaters are fighting that.
And how important these spaces are to these communities, to these
exactly.
predominantly Black communities.
I mean, where would we be? Where are we going to be in 20 years, 30 years time if we don't have these rinks? I mean, we might not have hip hop to what it is to this, you know, what it is today if we didn't have these rink spaces back then.
We should also point out that it differs from city to city. Mm-hmm. Chicago's got its own thing, and LA's got its own thing, and Atlanta's got its own thing. The Chicago one's my favorite because it's called JB.
It is pretty amazing.
I have to say, it's pretty great.
It's pretty cool. It's based on James Brown music, and so that's why it's called JB style. And they do, I mean, the showstopper move is called the Nutcracker, where the they leap up in the air, they spin mm-hmm. in a 360, and they land in the splits, and they're doing this all on skate. It's incredible to watch.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. How, you know, the people come from all over the country to take part in certain events. Is that part of it still healthy? The national events?
The national events, which is what we walked into that very first time, is where the community is trying to save the culture. So because a lot of them are losing their rinks and they don't have a local rink, they travel now to go to these big parties that they organize. There's at least one or two a month, if not more. And shout out to Houston this weekend, Houston Roundup. And so they travel to these cities. They take over these, you know, two or three hotels, and they take over the rink from midnight till 6 a.m. They skate their hearts out, and then they have events all day. They have meetups, cookouts, and then they skate again from midnight till 6 a.m. and more meetups and events during the day, and then they will fly out. So it's definitely one way they are trying to keep the culture alive.
At the height of Black skating culture, approximately how many rinks were there, and now how many?
Yeah, I mean, we looked at, well, you know, there's a part in the film where we show a map of the rinks disappearing across the country. And we start from about the 1980s, and there's probably about 5,000 to 6,000 at that time, to what it is today, it's just 1,200 rinks. Wow. And they're constantly closing as well. We're always getting notification of rinks closing.
Have any hip-hop artists or people of means stepped in and said, no, I'm going to save this rink or I'm going to build a new one?
Well, in LA, actually, World on Wheels came back. It was closed in 2013 and it reopened in 2017. And Nipsey Hussle was one of the owners, co-owners behind that. So he helped bring that back. And we're hoping with the film coming out, a lot more eyes will be on it. And hopefully, you know, some of the skaters out there that are hip hop artists like Swizz Beatz, like Beyonce, will be able to bring it back.
People are saying, how does a nice Australian lady make a documentary like this?
I don't know. I really feel like, you know, this was the community. We found each other and they definitely vetoed us and gave us the stamp of approval to move forward. And we did it with them by our side. So Deanna and I didn't make this film as you know, two people on our own. We made it with them, by them, for them.